Hello, this is my Lenten diary for February the 17th, 2016. Today is Wednesday in the first week of Lent. Our reading today in the daily office comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 2. These are the first several verses in that chapter. Paul writes, "When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God." I wonder how much headway Paul would make in 21st century North America. Imagine he comes to Corinth, a thriving metropolis for its time in Greece, at the crossroads of major trade routes. Corinth was teeming with people and cultures and all manner of wisdom teaching. And yet what Paul had when he came to that place, what he had was his testimony about his experience of the risen Lord. And as he recounts his first visit to the Corinthians in today's reading, he recounts that he is not there winning them over with his wisdom. Rather, he wins the people who convert to the faith through what he calls the demonstration of the power of God and preaching Christ crucified. Now, I don't exactly know what the demonstration of the power of God looked like for Paul and for the Corinthians. I don't know what that would mean in our context here in North America. It seems that here, anyway, we sometimes confuse competence with spiritual power. We think if we're balancing the budget that somehow that is a way of giving witness to God's Spirit being in our midst. Now, don't get me wrong, nothing wrong with a balanced budget. It makes rectors and parish committees and vestries breathe much easier. But I'm not sure that's a demonstration of the power of God, at least not as Paul seems to be indicating in his letter to the Corinthians. Sometimes I've wondered if we haven't gotten so adept at doing church here in North America as an organizational enterprise, that we could do church regardless of whether God was present or not. I'm not trying to be sarcastic or cynical, but just think about it. We know how to manage buildings. We know how to fundraise. We know how to balance budgets. We know how to hire competent staff. We know how to do all of the things that all of the books tell us we need to do in order to, quote, have a successful or thriving congregation, unquote. And yet, I'm not so certain that having a well-oiled organizational machine is the same thing as having a parish that is grappling with what does it mean to preach Christ crucified? What does it mean to go forth with nothing more than a trust in the power of the Spirit? What does that actually look like in real time in our own context? Well, I'm still wrestling with those questions. I don't have answers to those questions. But over the last couple of years, I have been very much moved by a lay missionary in Kenya. His name is Paul. We came to know about Paul here at Trinity Church through a personal connection with one of our parishioners. Paul has a ministry there in Kenya. It's a number of people that have been gathered around the proclamation of the Word of God. And whenever Paul writes and gives us an update, it is clear that they are experiencing in that community of faith a sense of God's provision, a sense of God's holiness, a sense of God's movement within their community. And in the midst of this experience of the power of God, they are doing some fairly mighty things. They are feeding the hungry. They are clothing those without clothes. They are ministering to those who are in all sorts of conditions and difficulties. And they're doing that on the basis of faith, the Word of God, and the power of prayer. When I look at what Paul and his community are doing with so few resources, I am challenged to ask the question, how do we, here in my context, open our minds to the great power of the Spirit at work in our midst? I wonder if maybe the edge, if I dare use that language, if the edge that Paul and his community have is that they are utterly dependent on God. And while we are utterly dependent on God as well, I wonder if sometimes we neglect to remember it. Today I am reflecting and giving thanks for the ministry of Paul Matuku and the work that he is doing half a world away in Kenya, the way that he is leading me to pray for a greater outpouring of God's Spirit on the little corner in Wauwatosa where so much ministry has happened for well over a century. We are kindred spirits, Paul and me, in different contexts, leading very different communities of faith. But at the end of the day, we're not that far apart in the sense that we read these words from Paul the Apostle, and we know that it's not about a successful church. It's not about a large church. It's not about a beautiful church. What it's about is the power of God, the movement of the Spirit, and preaching Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, crucified, died, and risen forevermore. Let us pray. Bless us, O God, in this holy season in which our hearts seek your help and healing. And so purify us by your discipline that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.